Another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast.
Hello.
I'm Ollie.
How are you?
Helpful. Educational.
Research the heat press.
The best podcast conversations we have had.
My business called Drum the Garlic Design.
With Matt from PrintPro UK.
It's nice to be here.
I have loved this episode. If you're a garment decorator, welcome to the crew. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Garment Decorators podcast. Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Chloe from Talk and Tell. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm very good. Very excited to have you on.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I feel like we've been planning this for a while.
Yeah,
and
we
I'm
have.
So excited to finally get stuck into this conversation. We've got a lot to talk about today.
We
can talk about your business that you currently run. We're talking about new additions to the business.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some questions for you around being an entrepreneur, being a woman in the entrepreneurial space and things like that. So yeah, let's dive into it. So
sounds good.
To start with, do you want to tell everybody who you are and a little bit about your business?
Okay, so my name is Chloe. I'm 34.
Are you?
Yeah.
You do not look 34.
I'm 34. I turned 34 in March, actually. And I have been running Talk and Tell for the last... 2015 I started, so...
10 years.
10 years.
10-year anniversary.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
I actually started it in my bedroom while I had a full-time job as a graphic designer working for a travel brand.
Mm-hmm.
I went to an art school. I have a degree in graphic design. And, yeah, I really love, like, anything creative and stuff like that. So I basically started it because I wanted like a creative outlet, because I worked for a brand that had like a lot of brand guidelines that I had to follow. And even though it was fun, I had a great time working there. I never got to do whatever I wanted. So yeah, I basically started it because I couldn't find phone cases that I really liked and that I thought were then also affordable and great quality. So I thought I'd just design some of my own. And then, yeah, I started off designing a bunch of phone cases. They were absolutely terrible if you look back now.
As the first products always are.
Yeah. And it was literally just a handful of designs. I started with one size phone, which was the iPhone 6 at the time.
Sorry, back.
Yeah. We're now, my phone now is a 16. So literally 10 years.
Phones later.
Yeah. Literally. And yeah, and then it kind of grew very fast from that. I literally did everything myself. I built the website, I took the product photos, the social media. I actually started on social media at a really good time
mm-hmm.
for brands growing. I feel like now it's a lot harder for brands to grow on social media. And I was sort of at a time where like brands were growing quite fast on there.
Yeah.
So yeah, we like grew to almost 100,000 followers on there. I started doing more designs, more sizes. And then over time, I think I did just phone cases for quite some time and then branched out into like other products. And now we make stationery, like greeting cards and stickers. And we do like personalized notebooks and all kinds of stuff, really.
And t-shirts.
Yeah. Wonderful t-shirts.
So we've got some of your phone cases here, which
yeah.
I'm so excited to show. So Chloe's very kindly bought some really cool ones for us. So this is my new one. We've got one for Beth, absolute book nerd over there, so which is super cool. I love that.
Yeah, we have a few coloured ones.
And bottoms up, obviously,
yeah.
for the weekend. But they're so unique and they're
yeah.
really vibrant, really colourful. I love them.
That was one of the biggest things. Like when I have, obviously the quality of the cases have changed quite a lot over the years. And I've always tried to keep the price as minimum as I can because I want it to be affordable for lots of people to be able to use them.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of our competitors, you'd be looking at the price of a case like that would be like 3-4 times the amount of what we sell them for.
Yeah.
And like we get a lot of people that will buy like 2-4 phone cases at a time because I feel like because they're affordable, because
yeah.
otherwise you wouldn't be able to buy a single phone case at like £60-70 a go.
And also I think it's not necessarily something you'd want to do, is it? Because your styles do change. And how many times
yeah,
have you
exactly.
bought a case on Amazon and 6 months later gone, I'm bored of that color, I want
yeah.
another one? Like you do chop and change
yeah.
quite a lot. And I think if you're
yeah.
paying that amount for a case, you're less likely to, especially if it's more unique.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, am I going to want to change it? And then I can't in
yeah.
however many months. Or...
Yeah. And I'm so like, in terms of like the colors and stuff, I've worked years and years of like perfecting the colors of them, because one of the biggest thing for me, actually at the moment, I'm designing some new stickers, and I've been back and forth with the where we have them made, because I'm not happy with the colors. And like, I don't want to be like, oh, okay,
that will do,
because to me it's not worth making something if it's not the best that it can be.
You can tell when you look at your products as well, and I'm sure that obviously all of the t-shirts are exactly the same from the prints that we've seen so far. They've all got that unique design to them. The colors are brilliant. Like, I've no doubt that they are going to be just as successful. I really do.
But as well, it's a work in progress. Like, obviously this is going to be a new product for us, so I also obviously will learn from that, and they will improve obviously over time as well.
Exactly.
Until they're as good as our phone cases.
Well, you'll be using the right equipment and decoration from the start, so I don't think that will be a problem in terms of quality. But you'll probably like add designs in as you go, what people request, which is totally fine. That's the whole reason of doing heat print on demand, right? So you can physically print products as the orders come in, rather than having to bulk order loads of stock like you have to do at the moment. So it's a lot more flexible.
I know we've spoken about this briefly before, but our phone cases, because of the way that they're made, we don't have the luxury of being able to like just make a one-off. And this is one of the great things about being able to do the t-shirts and being able to print them ourselves and like have that experience. Because if one day, for example, I'm like in my little home office and I think, oh, you know what, I've had an idea for a t-shirt, let me quickly mock that up, and then I could like literally order the transfer the next day or so, it would be there, and I can like test it out and obviously see whether I'm happy with that. And the cases, I don't have that luxury, so this is like going to be really fun from a creative point of view to be able to obviously do something that you can like turn around so quickly.
And if you're happy with that mock-up, you can then photograph it, then create mock-ups with the design and put it up for sale without even having to order stock
Like literally days, like and the cases, like it takes us a long process, like it takes us weeks to design cases, because I have to design them all in one go. I can't just design one and then be like, okay, well, I'll print that one and then come up with another one like a couple of weeks later. I have to do it all in one go. So yeah, it would be nice to be able to have that luxury of being able to do that ourselves, and obviously in our own like environment. I'm really looking forward to it.
So tell me about your influencer relationship with your business, because you've mentioned before that there's been a very famous TV show which has featured one of your phone cases on before. Tell me about that.
So when I was actually on holiday in Cyprus at the time, and I had worked with an influencer who we started working with very early on in when I first started the brand, and she had gone to an event in London, and the event was run by Kourtney Kardashian. I can't remember what the event was for, but it was something that they were launching.
They run a fair few, don't they?
Yeah. one of the products that they make. And so she had gone to the event, and the event actually ends up in one of the episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Okay.
And basically they filmed the event, and the influencer that I worked with, she was there. And the part of the event, you see Kourtney Kardashian on a backdrop, and they were taking some photos like with the people at the event. And the influencer I worked with was using one of my phone cases at the time.
That's crazy.
And she gets her phone out to take a photo with Kourtney Kardashian. And basically Kourtney takes her phone and holds it up and takes the photo on her phone. So you see the filming. So for example, where the cameras are now, they're obviously filming, and she holds the phone
so
up.
So you've got pictures of Kourtney Kardashian holding your phone case. That's so cool.
So I made it into
fan girls over here.
I literally love them. So
do you remember which phone case it was?
I do remember which phone case it was. At the time, we used to make a marble range of phone cases, because at the time, marble was like a big thing. We don't really do those anymore, but it was a white marble phone case. I can still like picture the footage of it happening.
Moments like that when you run your own business never disappear, do they?
I literally couldn't believe it. I was like, what are the chances of that happening?
Did you watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Is that how you saw it? Or did someone see it and show you and go, Chloe, have you seen this?
So obviously, because I was on holiday, I hadn't seen it, but someone had watched it and seen it and then sent it to me. And
then
was
you were
like,
I have to watch this episode.
Yeah, and obviously I did watch it. And if you go way, way back in the archive of our Instagram feed, you'll find the post there somewhere.
If I can find find it. I'll overlay it on the screen for everyone.
Yeah, and it does say, I think I put in the caption what season and what episode it was that it was on. But yeah, it was way back in the day because I still had the job. So it was only like within the first 2 years of when we started.
And so at that point that you went in and handed in your notice, like, see you later.
Do you know what though? I got made redundant from that job.
Oh, well, it was meant to be, wasn't it?
Yeah. And like I got made redundant from that job, and I was quite gutted because I did really enjoy working there. But so I was living in Essex. I was commuting to London every day because at the time we didn't work from home.
How did you find the time?
Honestly, I don't know. Like I used to go to work. In my lunch breaks, in any spare time that I had at that job, I'd be working on my own thing. Mm-hmm. I would then come home and then I'd pack the orders and do anything else that I could. And then basically went to bed by the time I'd finished that. And then I'd get up, go to work the next day. And it got to a point where I was really struggling like to do both. So it kind of came out of like a good time. Like I think being made redundant was a blessing in disguise, really, because like I was finding it hard to manage both.
Yeah, it gave you the opportunity to go, right, I'm going to give this 6 months, a year, give it my all, and see if I can make it.
And that's literally what I did. And I've been self-employed or run my own business since. So
10 years ago.
Yeah.
That's mental.
So yeah, it is. I can't believe, honestly, it's been 10 years.
Are you doing anything special for 10-year anniversary?
I think I should. Maybe I'll have like a cake made, a nice cake, and do
like a nice colourful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a very Talk and Tell branded cake, I think. But yeah, I think we should do something. Maybe I'll do like a 10-year anniversary case of some kind or something like that.
So why did you decide to add apparel to your product range? It's very different to cases. What was the inspiration behind it?
I love graphic t-shirts. Literally, I am a sucker for graphic t-shirts. I know I'm not wearing a graphic t-shirt today, but...
Bit contradicting.
Yeah. But usually you will probably find me 90% of the time in a graphic t-shirt and jeans. Like that's basically what my uniform, what I live in. Mm-hmm. And as well as someone that's creative and loves like design, I've also for a long time collected like vintage like design. Like funny enough, they've always been heavyweight t-shirts. Like my favorite t-shirts to buy are like Harley Davidson t-shirt. The first time I came in, I was wearing a Harley Davidson.
You were, yeah. So you were like a fan of the heavyweight before the heavyweight was trending.
Exactly. Yeah. I own about 30 Harley Davidson t-shirts.
Yeah.
And I literally buy them because I love the graphics. Yeah. So I, for years, have wanted to design my own. Mm-hmm. And I've got to a point now where I feel like I could take some of what we do and put that onto t-shirts.
Yeah.
Basically, just having time, like obviously being a one woman band.
Full-time business owner, you'd literally do everything.
Yeah.
And it's
literally
very difficult to find time for yourself to add additional things into your life, let alone your business.
So. Yeah. So, yeah. And I've wanted to do it for a long time. It's just having obviously had the time and right time to do it, really.
I think that's a great story though, because you've got your built-in business and your built-in customer base already that know your products, love your products, that follow you, and you create something that you're passionate about, that you put your creativity into, and that's why your business has been successful. That's going to be exactly the same with the t-shirts.
I really hope it's a
product that you want to wear, that you genuinely love.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest conversations that we have here on this podcast, is about being authentic and being yourself and selling products that you genuinely are either passionate about or believe in. Like you're creating a brand, other people print for fulfillment, but you're still passionate about the product that you print being the best it can be.
Yeah.
And same with social media. Like if you're not being authentic and not being yourself, people can see straight through that, and you're selling something you're genuinely passionate about.
Yeah.
And that's what people are going to be like, I really want one of those tees.
Yeah. That it comes round to like even the t-shirt itself. Like obviously this has been going on for quite a few months now, and I honestly have trialed so many t-shirts and tested so many t-shirts for the shape, the size, the thickness and all of that stuff, because I was so like in my mind, I knew what I wanted it to be. As someone who likes to buy graphic t-shirts and wear them from other brands, I've always found that I've sent t-shirts back because they're not very good quality. I don't like the thickness of the t-shirt. I don't like the shape of the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. So that was really important for me to obviously get right. When I came in today, we don't have them all here, but I literally had, I would say, maybe 100 t-shirts over there.
Yeah, we've got some of them here that we're going to go through. But yeah, testing and finding the right t-shirt is something I really want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
So bring me back to the beginning. So how did you go about bringing t-shirts into your product range?
Basically, I wanted to obviously explore that, and I didn't know whether I would outsource the printing, because at the moment I mostly outsource all of the production of obviously what we do. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to have the creative freedom of being able to do it, like I said to you earlier, about like quickly putting mm-hmm. it together, being part of the process as well. And that's when I started to do some research. Like, I'm very much like, once I fixate on something, like, I need to know everything about it. And the amount of videos, I've actually watched lots of your videos in terms of the printing process and like all of that stuff. And you guys were the ones that when you search for yeah. heat transfers, heat presses and all of that stuff, like, you're top of the list. So, and I kind of wanted to make sure that we started off at a point where we was using the best of the best to start with, because obviously we're at a point now in our business where we're not like amateurs anymore. Like, we want to obviously use the best that we can possibly use to, mm-hmm. from the beginning. And then that's when I started to look at obviously the machines, and then I got in touch with you, and and it kind of went from there. And I did look at other brands, but there I did a lot of watching other people who have different machines and what their experiences were like with them, and yours by far were the best. So yeah, and that obviously what led me to sending you an email. And
well, I'm very pleased that you did, because not only on a professional level this is going to be great for your business, for our business, but personally, this is a really fun project, and yep. it's definitely something a bit different to what we normally do. And yeah, when I saw your account and everything that you wanted to do, I was like, I need to be involved in this. This is so much more visually appealing than some of the other stuff that we do. So yeah, I'm really glad that you yeah. did. Did you find it more challenging than you initially thought it was going to be?
Yeah. So as someone who's designed products for the last 10 years, mm-hmm. I find like designing phone cases, I can literally do in my sleep now. Like, but it wasn't always like that. When I first started, obviously it's taken a lot, many years to like perfect being able to do that. But now when I go into designing a phone case, I can almost visually see the phone case before I've even designed it. Or yeah. like when I'm drawing, for example, I'll know how many elements, like if I hold this up, like obviously this case has a lot of different elements in it, and I can almost tell how many of that I need to do to be able to fill the back or fill the space. Because obviously yeah. designing a phone case, like the size and how much space, you're quite restricted. Mm-hmm. And when it came to designing t-shirts, I thought it was going to be quite easy as taking the designs and sticking them on a t-shirt, tweaking them ever so slightly, and they would be great.
Yeah.
And I found when I started to design the t-shirts that doing that wasn't working as well as I thought it would. So from like a designer's point of view, I had to do a lot more of like experimenting with the designs and trying lots of different things, because I feel like certain things that I was taking from my designs and putting on t-shirts just did not look right. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now I've got to a point where I've come up with like a good range, where I think hopefully when we try them today, they're going to look good when we print them. But again, I think, like I said before, it's all a learning process. And I think over time, like, I'm really happy with what we got now, but I think in the future they will also get better and better and better once I learn what is best, like looks best and what works best on the space and the shape of the t-shirt.
Have you kept any similarities from your phone case designs through to your t-shirts?
Yeah. So some of them are designs taken from some of our phone case designs. Some were completely new designs that I've drawn up, but they'll always be in the same illustration style of our phone cases and all the products we make, really. But yeah, I wanted to obviously keep that consistent so it looked like us as a brand. Mm-hmm. And I also love the idea of being able to have a phone case and my t-shirt match. So
I was going to say, selling the bundle. Yeah, yeah. I 100% would wear that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And eventually also I would love to do kids versions as well, so like the mom and the dad and the kid can match. And because I love, also I love kids clothes that look like adult clothes, if that makes sense.
They're actually, so, like, you see them in like the little matching sets.
That would be so fun to do.
Walk me through the process of designing your t-shirt. You are a graphic designer, you've got years of experience in it. From concept to finished product, how do you go about doing that?
Okay, so very similar to actually how we design the phone cases, like, and all the products that we do, the process is always the same. Well, back in the day, I used to draw on pen and paper, and because iPads and an Apple pencil wasn't actually a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to draw on paper, scan it in, clean it up. That used to take forever and hours. But now life is much easier thanks to technology. And I use an iPad and an Apple pencil. I use the Adobe Suite. I have done since I've started. I actually started to learn to use the Adobe Suite when I was 15 at mm-hmm. school when I did GCSE art. And
that's crazy.
Still, so I've been able to use it for more than half of my life.
Oh my God, that's yeah. scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Technology's come a long way.
Yeah, so I still use the Adobe Suite. I actually use an app called Adobe Fresco for drawing illustrations. I found that has worked best for me also because you can actually draw in vectors on there, which if you're a designer or anyone that designs stuff like that, you'll know that is just a game changer because it just yeah. makes your life so much easier. And then you can scale everything that you do. Huge. Like I could literally fill a wall with the design on literally a drawing about this big that I've mm. drawn.
I think a lot of people are unaware of what vectors are when they first get into
yeah.
printing. And that's a massive benefit that you have is
yeah.
that you understand the artwork and the design process
yeah.
because a lot of people that come into this industry, because it's so accessible now to heat print garments,
yeah.
which is amazing. I don't have the artwork experience that you have. And I had to learn, you know, once I came here, what would print, what wouldn't,
yeah.
how you need to go about it. So the fact that you've got that from the beginning has saved you so much time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, obviously, like if even using a JPEG, like a JPEG would obviously have a white background. Like you can't obviously use that for...
Unless you want the white background.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I use that. And then once I've drawn the illustration, always then take it onto my computer. I just find that a bit easier to place and like
yeah.
then I can make a lot of variations of like the design as well. So I will put it into Illustrator and I will create however many color variations, placement variations until obviously I've got it right. And then yeah, after that it's basically good to go with any product, like the cases, and then they're good to go for print, or with the t-shirts obviously that means having the transfers then made. But yeah, so
what advice would you give somebody who is getting into garment decoration? What would you say a good baseline of knowledge to have when it comes to artworking for t-shirts is?
Okay, good question. I would say to them to learn the very basics of design elements. Like, I don't mean you need to be a graphic designer, because you really don't nowadays. There's so much out there that people can use. You
yeah.
don't need to be a designer to be able to use that stuff. But even like me mentioning to you about like a vector file, mm-hmm. A JPEG, like knowing the basic terms of things like that. Because if you're not aware, a JPEG has a background, a vector file like wouldn't. So that's obviously super important when you're doing stuff like we're going to be doing. So I would learn the very basics of like design elements, as well as obviously color. I think that's obviously, it depends. Obviously, you might be printing black and white. Color might not be important, but for us as a brand, obviously, you'll know
color
is very important. So working to a good, like the color range that we use, making sure that it's good for print, the colors that we're using. Yeah. And just honestly, just getting stuck in. Like I am very much one of them people that I don't like to be told that I can't do something. So if someone tells me you can't, I'm like, I'm going to prove
Watch
you otherwise.
Me.
Yeah.
Molly is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. We've heard that before.
Like, if someone said to me, like, you can't put a bathroom together, I'd be like, watch me.
Yeah.
The amount of time that I spend on, like, YouTube, on, like, social media, trying to, like, I love to learn as well. Like, that's one of the biggest things. Like, I'm very intrigued about being able to do things by myself and being able to understand the logic behind how something works.
Yeah.
So I think that obviously also helps because I kind of want to know. But yeah, just get on and do it. Like you'll soon learn along the way, like what you need to know. And as someone who's literally started a business with no business background, like being a designer, obviously I have the skills in terms of design, but I didn't have the skills to run a business.
Yeah.
And that has only come with obviously learning. And there's been a lot of mistakes over the years,
mm-hmm.
things that I could have done different, better. But Yeah.
I want to get into all of that. But before we do that, I want to talk about the t-shirt and the process of finding the perfect t-shirt.
Okay.
Have you got the notebook that you wrote everything down in?
I do. Just on the desk
over there.
Can we
bring that in? Because I feel like that needs to be shown.
I also did bring my iPad with me so you can see some of the raw files of the designs.
So when it comes to finding the perfect t-shirt, you mentioned before that you wear graphic tees yourself. You're very fussy about how you like them to fit, feel, and all of the above. What were the biggest challenges you found when looking for the blank t-shirt for your company?
I literally went to bed dreaming about t-shirts for the last few months. Literally, the amount of time I've laid in bed thinking about t-shirts.
I can relate.
It has been challenging, I'm not going to lie, because obviously I have been looking for such a specific type of t-shirt and I wanted it to be perfect. Like I did when I started thinking about t-shirts, I put it out there onto our social media on Instagram to ask our audience like what they would be looking for in a t-shirt as well. So I had some feedback as well from that. So I wanted to always bear that in mind. A lot of the things that came up was exclusive sizing, the thickness of a t-shirt and it being cotton. So those three things were always in the back of my mind when I was like looking for the perfect t-shirt. And honestly, I have sampled so many t-shirts from so many different blank brands. And it's taken me a really long time to find one. Even the one that I've gone with, I've been like back and forth about because I was like, can I find even better than this? But I do think the one that we have gone with is perfect for the type of t-shirts that we're going to make. And it's a casual classics t-shirt and it's super thick, like really heavyweight, 350 GSM. And it's a really nice oversized fit, both for men and women. So it's unisex. And one of the biggest things that I found with unisex t-shirts, which is what I wanted it to also be, was the shape, because you'll find obviously men are a lot taller than women.
Yeah.
I'm only 5'4". So as well, like I'm probably about the average. Like if you look, I even looked up what the average height is in the UK for women. It is about what I am.
Is it?
So you're on the taller side. Yeah.
Wow. That surprises me actually.
In fact,
how tall are you? Okay.
Yeah. Right, so the average is like 5'4"-ish.
Wow. My friends are freakishly tall then.
I wish I was a bit taller, but it was hard to find a t-shirt that was not going to drown a woman and a man and not be like down to your knees and be the right shape. But yeah, we got there in the end, I think. And
I cut all of our tees.
Really?
That we get here. If they're too long, I hack the bottom off with scissors.
Do you know what?
I'm just like, I can't. It bunches up. You try and tuck it in, it bunches up. Like,
I even thought about, could I possibly, because I was finding so many good t-shirts that were everywhere else. Fine. I was like, could I cut them and stitch them so they were shorter for printing? And
it's
a lot
of extra work though, isn't it? You're adding so much time and money onto the production line by doing that.
Exactly. Yeah. And obviously, as I said, it's just me. So
no one's got time to be cutting and stitching t-shirts.
Exactly.
When they should be the right length to start
with. So that's why I'm so glad we found this t-shirt, because it is a really good shape, a really good length for both men and women. And it's super thick. You're not going to be able to see through it, which obviously was the biggest thing for me, because I absolutely hate a white t-shirt that you can see through.
Yeah, I completely get what you mean. So show the camera your workings in your book. So even down to like how long the t-shirts were, right? You wrote all of this down. You compared literally everything.
So
I love the level of detail that's gone into this.
I mean, this isn't probably going to make much sense to everyone else, but it made sense to me at the time. We have pages of t-shirt sizes.
I just love that.
And I literally wrote down the length, the pit-to-pit size of each t-shirt that I was looking at, because even like the few centimeters different, it's mostly in length, made such a big difference.
Yeah.
Like to when you tried it on. But also, I can't believe the size variation in the same size t-shirt across multiple brands.
Mm.
Like, for example, you take one t-shirt in a small in one brand and then you look at the same kind of t-shirt that another brand might do and you compare the pit to pit size and the length size, and they're so drastically different. And it was so hard because I was like, well, that's like a size large in this brand size small. So yeah, it honestly has been very challenging. A lot of research, a lot of hyperfixation on like understanding the length, because as well before I could never tell you what size t-shirt I like wore pit to pit and length wise. It's only from obviously
I
can tell you now, but I couldn't at the time before, and now I could tell you like, oh, I know what size, like what a perfect fit t-shirt for me would be so and so, because I've obviously done so much research into like the measurements of a t-shirt.
Yeah, but like you say, they're so different brand to brand as well, which is the challenging thing.
Yeah,
it's like, so difficult, isn't it? Because some of them are oversized, some of them are women's fit, some of them are unisex, but like, where do you draw the line between this is oversized so it's 2 to 3 centimeters wider and that's acceptable, or this brand's 5 centimeters, or there's no baseline for that.
No, there really isn't. And as well, all the t-shirts that I looked at were oversized. In the name of the t-shirt, it would say oversized, so it wasn't even like I was looking at like a regular shape t-shirt or a regular fit, like, because I obviously from the beginning knew that I wanted it to be an oversized style t-shirt. Yeah. So when I was looking, I already ruled out all the like normal size fitted t-shirts or like a regular shaped t-shirt, because I knew that's not what I wanted. So even looking at oversized at that brand, they were so different, and the look of it, what you want going into it, because otherwise I would have had like, with the amount of t-shirts obviously we looked at, I would have been so lost, like with obviously knowing what to use.
So let's talk a little bit about things that you've learned running a business over the last 10 years, because I think there's a lot of insight that you can offer people that are listening, whether or not they're printing their own apparel or venturing into other forms of business. What would you say the biggest lessons that you've learned as a business owner have been?
Honestly, so many, but if I had to pick like
top three,
trial and error. Honestly, trial and error, like trying, seeing, finding what's wrong with it and fixing the problem. That has been one of the biggest thing for all the products we've made. Like I mentioned before, at the moment, the stickers I'm designing, I'm not happy with. Like, it has always been about, don't go with what you think is that will do, because people will can see that. Like, if your product is not the best that you can make it, then there's no point in even doing it. Trial and error, like, until you get it to your happiest with it.
Yeah.
Another one I would say is, do you know what? When we first started, we had a different name. I had to change the name due to copyright reasons. Again, something I wasn't aware of. I had no idea that this other brand existed. The name that I had actually wasn't the same. It was just slightly similar to another brand. And that again was one of the biggest challenges, because we had got to a point where we were growing and we had grown and had an audience that knew us by that name, and having to rebrand, change the name and basically start over again was one of the biggest challenges I ever had, like with the brand. And I'm really happy with where we are now. Like, I actually prefer the name that we have now. It feels more like us. But again, like doing, when it comes to things like registering your business and looking at the brand name and all of that stuff, like, it's all so important. And I feel like people just go into starting something and being like, that will do. Like, I kind of like this name and name their brand that. And then years down the line, they end up having problems. But that can also apply for like many things, like in terms of like designs, even. Obviously, I'm very, very, very cautious of copyright when it comes to obviously the designs that we make. I'm very aware, obviously, that I want us to look a certain way and want our designs to be very unique to us. So when I go into designing a product, I do research. I do look around to see what else exists and what other people are doing, because I want to make sure that we're not treading on anyone else's toes. And it all comes back to the same thing of it being something that you don't really think about when you first start. And those are the things that end up being one of the biggest, like, you get into obviously legal problems. And when you're a small business, like, you don't have people to be able to sort that out. It's you having to sort that out. So, and it's expensive. Like, if you're a small business, you don't have budget to be able to like spending money on doing stuff like that. Mm. So I feel like getting those things right from the beginning, is just really important.
You a lot of time
and saved you a lot of time and effort, obviously, in the long run. And obviously, I had to learn the hard way, but hopefully, someone else won't.
Yeah. Do you recommend working with influencers? You mentioned that you've worked with quite a few over the years. How did you find that when you were first starting out your business and as you grew? Would you recommend that something that people do in the apparel industry?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a good way to get your products out there. I think, as I mentioned earlier, I think influencer culture has changed quite a lot in the last few years. Like, now everyone's an influencer, I feel like, almost. Like, the amount, you won't believe the amount of messages that I get, like, a day on Talk and Tell, people saying, hey, like, I really like your brand. Like, do you want to collaborate? You send me some products. And you, like, look at their account and they're literally private with, like, 10 followers. Like, and yeah, honestly, I literally get that.
With all due respect, no. Like, I'm sorry, but no.
Yeah, like, and I'm like, how is this going to benefit us? Like, obviously, like, I'm all for people reaching out to us. I literally love people reaching out to us and saying, like, would you like to work together? Because, like, if you obviously have something to bring to the table and you love our
product,
and
it's mutually beneficial,
then great. Like, I'm more than happy to send you products and get people like that to use our products. But yeah, obviously it has to be beneficial on both sides. And I have found that over the years of, I do work with influencers a little bit still, but nowhere near as much as I used to.
Why is that?
Because I found that a lot of the time you send people products and you never hear from them or see them again, basically. Okay. They don't share it. They don't, like, literally, it's like it never happened.
Though.
Yeah, like it never happened. And I'm not talking about, like, I want someone to create, like, 10 stories, 3 Instagram posts, because I don't think people need to do that. But even if there was to, like, share it on their story. I feel like if people are reaching out to you or they're accepting the product, they must like what you do, because you'd like to think that someone was going to do that because obviously they like the stuff that you made.
Yeah.
So even sharing it for that purpose.
How do you filter out the people that you think will and won't share things? Like, if someone reaches out to you and they've got a decent following and their Instagram looks good and you think, okay, yeah, your audience looks like the kind of people that would buy our products, how do you go about handling that relationship? Because obviously you want something to come out of it, whether it is just an Instagram story for a free phone case or something like that. Can you tell before you send them products?
Not always. I have been wrong. I'm going to admit that and say there has been times when I've sent stuff to people where I've thought that they seem like they would. But I think mostly it comes down to the interaction and how they respond, basically, to your emails or messages or whatever that is. And if they seem extremely keen. But also, I like to have a look. Obviously, I tend to work with people that I might have been following for a while, or they've reached out and we've had, like, some sort of communication, or they might have followed the brand for a while.
A bit more authentic rather than a one-off.
Yeah. And, like, you can kind of see the stuff that they share, can see that they might work with other brands and they share that kind of stuff on their social media. So you know that that's something that obviously they're interested in.
Yeah.
I've also tend to work with influencers that I personally really like.
That's how you've grown your business, by creating products that you like.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I obviously, we all follow influencers. Like, I love to travel. Like, I follow a lot of travel influencers, and a lot of the stuff that I've done over the years and places I've been have been because of travel influencers and what I've seen them do and recommend. And
yeah, the way we search and find things now is so different to how it was even, like, 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. And so I tend to try and work with people that I think, like, that I personally can relate to and feel like they would work well with the brand. Honestly, you'll never know. It's a guessing game, really. But
using your judgment as best you can.
Just go with your gut, really, if you think that they're going to work well or they're going to do.
And obviously, trial and error.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How do you go about finding a work-life balance? Because you run your own business. It's you do everything. You work from home as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about drawing the line between switching on and off from work mode?
It's very hard.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't really ever switch off. The only time I really switch off is when I do travel. Mm-hmm. And even then, there's always, like, in the back of my mind, there's always stuff going on that I need to, like, make sure is okay while even wherever I am in the world. But yeah, I do very much find it hard to switch off or be like most people will go to their 9-to-5 job, you know, you turn your computer off at the end of the day and you go home. Like mm-hmm. for running your own business, like it
doesn't work like that.
It never goes like that. And like if you're working on a product or you're excited about something, I'm very much also a person that once I'm like in the midst of something, I'm like, I've got to do it. Like I can't go to
bed. Where have we heard that before?
I can't like I'll be working till like midnight. Like yeah. because I'm like, I just need to get this done and that done. And
but you enjoy it. That's yeah, the biggest part. Exactly. It's something you're passionate about.
And it doesn't feel like work. Like
that's the biggest yeah. part.
So I don't mind the long hours and that part of it. Sometimes I wish I could switch off a little bit every now and again, just because obviously it is like my mind is constantly on the go.
That's the creative side of your brain though. I think yeah. it's very different if you're thinking about new products and designs and yeah. you see something on Instagram, or you'll be out and about having lunch and you see someone wear something and you go, oh, that's a really cool idea. Your creative brain is always on. But from like a business point of view, it's probably, I suppose there's a bit more of a cleaner line to be like, I'm not answering emails until yeah. tomorrow morning yeah, at 9 yeah. a.m. or, yeah. you know, that side of it. I
yeah, think that's true. Yeah.
There's two very different true, sides yeah. because you are a creative
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
And I do the same. I'll go home and I'll see something or have an idea, but I'll just quickly write that down because I'll forget.
Yeah.
And then you come in the next day and you go, what did I think about last yeah. night? Oh, it's gone. But in terms of emails, messages, DMs, yeah, like yeah, all yeah. of that side of it, yeah. maybe that's probably where it's easier to be like, okay, I'll switch off until yeah. tomorrow, yeah. even if it's for a couple of hours.
Yeah, that is very much... Sorry, I'm going to start that again.
Okay.
That is definitely what I do tend to do. Like, obviously, the creative side of my brain is constant, but the stuff when it comes to like the day-to-day stuff of having, like, obviously the running a business on your own is hard because you are all the job roles. Like you are literally, like I have to do the social media, the editing, the taking the photos, the editing of the photos, the mm-hmm. creating the products, the finding the suppliers, the
uploading to the website, the SEO, all of the marketing, yeah. all of the finances.
Yeah, yeah, literally, like all actually,
customer service.
Exactly. Actually, I have to do my accounts soon. That's one thing I absolutely
oh,
hate.
Oh, joys! Everyone yeah. loves that time of
yeah.
year.
Yeah, the accountant. I have to get in touch with him. Well, actually, he emailed me the other day saying, "Hey, Chloe, like the
it's time."
Yeah, literally, he like sends me a reminder so I don't forget. But yeah, like you have to learn also to do all of them things. Mm-hmm. Like,
would you recommend having a financial advisor or an accountant? Because oh, 100%. Andy and I were having this conversation the other day and something came up about business advice and Andy was like, get someone that knows how yeah. to do it better than you to do it for you.
Yeah. 100%. Like I could not recommend that could be one of the things to have an accountant, because honestly, I hate that side of having a business. That is one thing that if I could get away with not doing at all, mm-hmm. then I would. There is obviously, I still have to do a lot for it, even though I have an accountant. So my accounts don't just come from one place. If they yeah. came from one place, half so days, easy.
Yeah.
So easy. Like literally export it for the year, send it off to the accountant.
You're like, right, we've got to do 1, 2, 3 revenue streams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not even that, like all of them platforms have fees and all of that stuff, and you have to work out all the transactions, like each fee for each transaction and all of that. I'm yeah. not even going to go into it because it's just so boring.
Yeah, let's not. We yeah. don't really like talking about yeah. numbers. We're not yeah. a financial yeah. podcast. Yeah, no, get an accountant.
Yeah, get an accountant and get them to do it, basically.
I love that. Oh, oh, Chloe, it's been so lovely to chat to you on the podcast
thank so
today.
Thank
you
me.
For taking the time. Yeah. And I'm very excited to see what happens with your business in the future, see your t-shirts continue to do amazingly well on your website and all the new designs you're going to come up with yeah. in the future. If people listening to this want to find Talk and Tell or yourself, how can they go about doing that?
So we're across obviously all social media. You'll find us on Instagram and TikTok. Our handle is Talk and Tell. On Instagram it actually has an underscore, but the rest is just Talk and Tell. We're pretty easy to find, I think.
That's it, really. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
We're going to go and print some t-shirts now yeah. and test out some of your new designs.
Yeah.
But for everybody listening, we'll be back in another 2 weeks with another episode. Don't forget to like and subscribe whatever platform you're watching on. And thank you very much for listening.